All right, so this is our fourth week, our very last message in a series that we've been calling Better. And next week, just so you know, we're starting a brand new topic that the working title for the series is something like Emotionally Healthy Christianity or Faith or something. And it's not really an area where I have a lot of expertise, but I think it's important because right now, mental and emotional health is really being strained everywhere you look. Anxiety seems to be high for lots and lots of reasons. Stress is high. Blood pressure is high. I think most of us have tried for so long to just stay calm and carry on, but I wonder if it's starting to get an awful lot to carry, and I wonder that because, to be honest, my assessment and talking to lots of people and lots of places is that cracks are starting to show from the strain, it's just been so long, relational cracks, mental cracks, spiritual cracks. And mental health isn't just for church people, it's for people. So I've been doing a bunch of research, looking at a lot of scripture, trying to learn from the smartest people I could find, and just trying to learn how to both become and how to help people around us become emotionally, spiritually, and mentally healthy. And I want to give you a heads up about this because I'm just not just excited about the message series we're about to start. I've learned so much from Scripture and other folks. I think we're going to benefit from this. But I want to announce this to you because I should add that I'll bet you know people who are not planning on being in church next week, who may be struggling right now, who may be going through really difficult times, maybe just processing difficult times. And I want to encourage you to help people like that. And you can do that really easily and invite them to join us next week. They could come sit in a pew next to you, I guess 6 feet away from you or whatever, or they could watch a link at home. But I'm really convinced that, you know, we all know someone who could be helped by what the Bible has to say about emotional and physical and, well, not physical, mental health. But this series, though, is called Better. And if you've been with us through the last couple weeks, you know that we're studying this idea that there are some parts of life that we may think are fine, but there are things that the Bible say, you know what, there's actually better way than what you have now. This week, we're looking at a verse in the scripture from Proverbs 22, verse 1, where the Bible says this: a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. You know, I think a lot of us have a lot on our minds, a lot going through our heads, and I think we'd all be a little better off if we had scripture going through our heads. So I want to encourage you to memorize this verse, and let's just start by repeating it together. Can you say it with me? We'll say it, and if you're online or in this room, let's just say these words together. Let them sink in. Proverbs 22:1. Here we go. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. As we begin today, let me just ask this. What's your name like? What are you known for? When people say your name, what do they think? What's your reputation? Now, at the same time as I ask that, I also want to dispel a myth that is associated with this question. Because I think a lot of times we think that having a good reputation means that we have to be perfect. And that's actually a huge misconception. Because the fact is, nobody's perfect. Everybody has dirty laundry. In fact, I worked a lot with junior high kids. If you think that you don't have dirty laundry, you actually have a very different problem, right? It means you don't do your laundry. The fact is, all of us have stuff going on. Here's a key thought. I want you to write it down, maybe think about it later. And like a lot of what you're hearing today is a thought from Greg Rochelle, who I learned so much from. But here's a thought. A good name does not mean that you're perfect. It does mean that you're being perfected by the one who is, and that's Jesus. Let me say that again. This is important. A good name doesn't mean that you're perfect. It does mean that you're being perfected by the one who is. In other words, here's what having a good name doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you've never messed up before. Having a good name doesn't mean you don't have any weaknesses or flaws or parts of your life that you're still working on. Like, we'd all like a reputation like Superman, but none of us are. And we're actually worse off if we don't ever ask for help. So back to names. Names are fascinating to me. Here's the thing about names. Names seem to carry stuff with it as you walk around life. When we had our first child, and if you've never had kids before, and you're having a first one, especially if you're like trying to figure out what this is like, and well, if it's your first kid, you've actually got time to think about what to name your kid. Your second, third, fourth kid, you don't have as much bandwidth or silence in the house. But new parents spend a lot of time trying to figure out what to name your kid. Like, we didn't want to name our kids something that would, I don't know, get them beat up on a playground later in life. So you want to try and figure out what to name a kid. And I'll be honest, this is a really especially big challenge for Ashley and I, because we both spent a lot of time working in youth ministry, and we didn't just get to know hundreds of kids. But the ones we got to spend a lot of time with were the knuckleheads. Like, parents would have kids who had issues, you know, Pastor Sam, you try and fix them, or her. And we remember those kids, so coming up with a name was really hard. Ashley would throw out a name, and I'd be like, you've got to be kidding. I am not naming my little baby that name. I can't call her that. Like, remember that girl who did that thing on that trip that one time? Like, I'm not going to call my kid that. No. And it was just so challenged. Like, we worked with so many different kids that we had such a hard time finding any name that we didn't attach, like, baggage to. Like, we didn't have esteem that included weird memories from former students. In fact, some of you have asked, Colette, what an interesting name. Is it a family name? Did you know any Colettes? No, we didn't know a single Colette. And that was sort of the point. Because we knew a lot of other kids with a lot of other names, and not all of them had high esteem in our heads. It's so silly, right? But stuff sticks with your name as you go throughout life, which is one big reason why a good name is more desirable than good riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold, the Bible says. And this morning, we're going to ask the Bible a couple questions. The first is, why is it better? And how do I get this valuable thing? I'll point out the obvious. This isn't just about the name that you get on your birth certificate or driver's license. This is about your reputation, your esteem. Why is it important to live in such a way that you get a good reputation? Here's number one. Number one, a good name can instill confidence. There's this line in the book of Proverbs. It's chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says that whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Do you know what integrity means? It means living up to your reputation. Integrity means being consistent with who you say you are. It is doing what you say you're going to do. Integrity, lots of definitions, but the simplest one is being a man or woman of your word. And when you walk in integrity, you walk securely. Maybe it's best to talk about this the opposite. So at my house, the kids have been home a lot, which means that, like the adults, they have taken up my favorite pandemic hobby, which is snacking. Snacking is great. Highly recommended. Maybe not super healthy, but, man, snacks are great. And because we had a blizzard on top of the pandemic, we got a bunch. Well, we added to our snack collection this wonderful thing called hot chocolate. And to make it even better, just like the cream on top, so to speak, we added this mysterious confectionery delight of ingredients unknown, marshmallows. And one day, we parents made the massive mistake. I don't know what we're thinking, but we just left the bag of marshmallows on the counter overnight. So the next morning, I discovered a much lighter bag of marshmallows. And I also discovered, I'm not a great detective, but I figured out that our three-year-old had apparently scarfed a bunch of them. So I'm like, I see her, I'm like, Eliza Kate, and she just takes off running. She knows what's going on. I go, Eliza, and she looks back at me, like, with this adorable smile that I can't imitate. She She thinks she could get away with anything, and she's a lot cuter than I am, so maybe she can. But I'm like, Eliza, did you have a marshmallow? And she looks at me and goes, what? Her face was like, what is this abnormal greeting, Father? Are you well? Marshmallows? Why ever might you inquire such? Like, her face has this really advanced vocabulary for a three-year-old, I guess. But it's also a little hard to understand, because here's the thing that I haven't told you yet. There's marshmallows all over this kid, like on her hands, on her face. There's like four or five stuck in her curly hair, and she's just looking at me like, why do you think that? And I'm looking, and I'm asking, what's in your mouth? And she just goes, nothing, Daddy, and runs away like as fast as she could. And it's silly, right? I know she ate the marshmallows. She knows she ate the marshmallows. And she goes, nothing, Daddy, and runs away. Here's the thing, though. We all do that, right? We all get caught with our hands in the marshmallow jar, so to speak. And we all try and act like no one knows what's going on. Like there's stuff we all do. There's stuff that, I don't know, we've been looking at on our phone that we don't want people to know about. There's stuff we've been talking about. There's been stuff we've been spending our free time doing that doesn't match our reputation. And all of a sudden, it messes us up a little bit. We feel insecure. And we try and run away, sometimes away from people, sometimes in addictive ways. And it doesn't really work because now we're in a worse place, because now on top of whatever mess we've got ourselves in from whatever problem we have, we're more insecure now, because now on top of everything else, we're worried that people are going to find out. And maybe they'll find out that we've been stressed eating bags of marshmallows or something worse. Or like you start gossiping about a friend. And gossip is great. Like, you feel better when you talk badly about other people. But now on top of that, you feel insecure and you feel a little worse, and now you're worried. Like, what if they find out that I was the one who spilled the beans about this? Like, I can give lots of examples of failure to have integrity, but here's the point. So many people, and you don't know it, but God knows it. So many people are not walking in integrity. Who they are doesn't match who they present to other people. And it messes them up. It causes insecurity, and you're like little Eliza running away from people you love, and you feel guilty and insecure. And the reason why they feel insecure is that it is only when you walk in integrity, Scripture says, is that you walk securely. When you have a good name, actions back it up. And there is a difference when you walk with integrity, because when you do, it certainly doesn't mean you're perfect. Integrity does mean, you know, I still mess up sometimes. Please forgive me for this. I shouldn't have done this. But when who you are matches what you say you are, it gives you confidence. And you're able to walk in a secure way. So why is a good name better? The first thing is that a good name instills confidence because it fights insecurity. The second point is this. A good name is better because a good name speaks for you. Now let me tell you this story from 2 Chronicles chapter 9. You could look up the details later, but the story is basically about Solomon. And he has such a good reputation that it benefits him. If you remember from last week, Solomon, we told the story, we talked about the fact that he was the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. And God said, look, I will give you anything you want. And Solomon goes, I would love wisdom. And God gives him wisdom in abundance. And you know what happens next? He got a reputation for being wise. And all the way in the middle of the continent of Africa, his name spreads there. And the Queen of Sheba finds out, and she wants to know just how wise he is. And you can see in 2 Chronicles, there's this line, when the Queen of Sheba had heard, in other words, the Queen of Sheba is in the middle of the continent of Africa, and she hears about the reputation of Solomon. He has a good name, and it's gone before him. You know this already. Your reputation can go before you, or your reputation can go before you. You know what I mean? Like, Solomon had a good name, and his name went before him and opened some doors. The story goes, she heard about his fame. She goes to Jerusalem to ask him hard questions. And the verse says she talked about everything that was on her mind. This is a fascinating story. The scripture actually says, I'm going to read the next verse, not a single question was too hard for Solomon. He answered them, because not only did he have a reputation for being wise, but he was actually wise. And the queen says this, the report that I heard, so the good name that he had, in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom, it's all true, which is called integrity. A good name is more desirable than great riches. Actually, in this case, I don't think I have the verse on the screen, but not only did a good reputation gain him influence, but the Queen of Sheba literally travels to Africa with gifts of amazing gold to give to Solomon just on the basis of his reputation. There's other examples, but you know this. Your reputation is valuable to you. You know this, right? Have you ever met somebody, and you've never really met them before, but you know them by reputation? A mutual friend has talked about and you feel like you know them? It happens, right? Your good name, your reputation precedes you. Like, there are people, I'm not going to illustrate this more than I have to, but there are people that will immediately give you trust or respect. They'll ask you for help, they'll give you help, they'll support you just based on your good name. Not on, like, they may not even know you yet. So if you're taking notes, the first point, simple. A good name instills confidence. Second point, a good name speaks for you. The third thing is this. A good name inspires others. And we see this in Scripture. You can look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to people that are in Corinth, and he's talking to them about Jesus and what it means to follow Christ. And you sort of sense in the church of Corinth, there's some stuff going on. And you imagine that they're going, I mean, you don't have to imagine, you can read the story. They're sort of going, this is really hard. I'm trying to walk in this. I don't know what to do next. And here's what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Here's what you do. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In other words, look, be influenced, be inspired by what you see me doing, how I'm walking, how it can be done. Because look, I'm walking with Christ, and as much as I'm following Christ, you follow what I'm doing. And one of the interesting things about this is that we're actually some of those folks reading Paul, following Jesus. But it gives an image of what every Christian should be doing. People should look at you and notice that you're following someone else. They should see your good reputation. They should notice how confident you are because of whose you are. And they might feel like, look, I don't really understand what's going on right now, because you, like a lot of people, are going through something really difficult. And you're not pretending you don't have struggles or acting like you don't have hard things. But I don't get it. How can you be so peaceful when everything's falling apart? I want what you've got. I'm inspired by that, people should say of you. You know, there are people that you're going to be around who you get to, who are going to look at you and go, I am different for being that kind of person. You know, there's people, you know people like this. You spend time with them. Scripture says, walk with the wise and you become wise. You know people that you're better off for spending time with them. Christians should be that kind of person. As followers of Christ, you should be walking in such a way in holiness and honesty before a holy God, that people look at your life and say, I want what they have. Not because we're perfect, but because Jesus is. And you may say right off the bat, okay, that's a lot. Sure, I should live a life where people follow my example as I follow Christ, and wouldn't it be great to inspire people and change the world, but no one's watching me. I'm not inspirational. Like, no, I don't have followers on Twitter. I'm just a bank teller. I work at a grocery store. I'm just a doctor. I'm just a contractor. I'm just a teacher. Who even knows who I am? I don't have a lot of influence. Why should I be inspirational? Let me just test that premise for a second. To test the link between fame and impact, we're going to have a pop quiz, okay? You can comment if you want. You could yell it out. No Google. Who can tell me who was Miss America in 2019? Super famous, biggest inspirational platform in the world. Anybody know? Oh, don't look at me. I have no idea. Next question. Let me come with an easier one. Since 2006, here's a question. You should know the answer to this. Which inspirational winning quarterback has the highest rated Super Bowl performance? Anyone know? Eagles backup quarterback Nick Foles is the right answer, as he destroyed Tom Brady, which I'm sorry, it's a big game tonight, right? It's the Super Bowl. And talk about influential events. This is one of the most watched, most influential, most inspirational events on the planet this year, right? It's huge. So let me just ask, since this is a really famous event, how many of you can tell me who won the Super Bowl in 2011? 10 years ago. Don't look, I don't know either, right? Isn't it weird though? Actually, you know, I'm gonna ask just for if you're a non-sports fan, right? This is too many sports stuff. Who can tell me who won the Oscar for Best Actress 10 years ago, 2011? You don't know, right? Which makes me really question the premise, right? Maybe fame and influence aren't the same thing. Maybe the people who you think are really famous and influential and impactful don't make as big of an impact as you think. Let me ask another set of questions, and I'll bet you know the answers to this. Do you know the name of a teacher that inspired you to do better? Do you remember the name of a coach who pulled something out of you that you never thought you could do? Do you remember the name of the elder or deacon or Sunday school teacher, Bible study leader, youth group leader? Do you remember the name of the person who was there for you when you're in a bad spot and you needed encouragement and prayer? Do you remember the name of your friend who was there when you really needed one? You've got names, right? Here's what you need to know. Famous people don't have a monopoly on influence. Every person has an opportunity to impact and inspire other people. As you walk as full followers of Christ, wherever God puts you, if you're on the Super Bowl field, or if you're at home with your kids, or sitting near your phone making some calls, or sitting at your desk writing cards, you know, God's given us, all of us, an opportunity to inspire people with our lives, not because we're great or have a good name, but because he who dwells within us, Jesus, is perfect and powerful. And I just want to acknowledge something else, because there's a lot of us, and I'm one of them sometimes, that when you really think about Christ, when you think about Jesus' reputation, and when you really like are honest enough to reflect on all the parts of your life that you just don't want other people to see, it may give you some insecurity. You may think, a good name would be great, but I don't have one, like not even close. I just want you to hear what Jesus says in Scripture, and I'll start in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Jesus is talking to a church, and he says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but actually you're dead, which acknowledges something, that there are Christians who have a reputation for being vibrant and faithful, but the fact is they're not, and maybe that's how you feel. You might feel like, I don't feel like I have a good name, and everyone around me, they they know it, or they don't, and I'm terrified that they might find out one day that I'm not who they think I am. Let me just say it at one level, welcome home. Because you're in a place, online or on site, a church, followers of Christ. You know, the Reformed tradition is one where I think Luther famously said, repent every day. And, you know, Romans, just so everyone knows this verse exists, Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, by the way, means everybody. Everybody has fallen short. And the good news is, I mean, the reason why we're so grateful to God is that even though we mess up, there is one name who, and kings will bow down at this name. There's this name above all names, and that's the name of Jesus, who loves us and forgives us and who changes us and who frees us. You have a table in your handout with verses of all that Jesus does to you to change us. But what do? Here's a simple lesson. Don't let your past determine your future trajectory. Because if you're taking notes, here's what you need to know. You are creating your reputation today. You are creating tomorrow's legacy. Like, it takes time to build a reputation. You're building that today. And don't wait too long to build one. You're actually working on it right now. I'll illustrate it this way. You know, one of the callings as a pastor that I both dread and treasure is organizing funeral services. And the first time I did one, I was in seminary. I was a youth director, and there was one of my students. He had no other connections to church other than youth group, and his cousin passes away. And his cousin and the whole extended family and friends had no connection to a church or anything, so they called me, and I definitely wasn't ready. It was my first year of seminary, but I had a bunch of books, and I did this thing that they call cramming in seminary, where I just read the books on how to do a funeral. And I did my best, and the cousin was a girl in her late 30s. And my judgment, I guess, was she was someone who spent a lot of time just chasing after silver and gold, so to speak, things that didn't really matter. And I took a meeting about 2 days before the service, and I met all of her family and closest friends. All I wanted to do is find out some details about her so I could personalize a service. And I didn't really know even her name, but my job was to celebrate who she was. So I sit in this small room, it's a living room, with all of the people who are closest to her, people who spent more time with her than anyone else, her best friends, her siblings, her parents, the people who she had impacted and inspired the most. And I just asked, like, what was she known for? Can you just tell me some stories about her? We want to celebrate her memory and her impact. What was she like? What are you going to miss now that she's gone? And I left like the question mark, and I thought maybe I did it wrong because there was this long silence. And finally, the one cousin raised her hand and said, well, she was funny that one time. Remember that time at the party when she told that joke? Wasn't it great? She's so funny. And no one else said anything. It died down, and I kind of sighed and said, okay, so she said one joke, that's great. What else was she known for? More silence, nothing. And finally, her aunt sitting on my right, she said, oh, you know what? She loved mayonnaise. She put on everything, on crackers and cheesesteaks. She would eat like a spoonful. It was great. Mayonnaise, it was great. And I was like, she loved mayonnaise. And someone's like, can you put a jar of mayonnaise on the bulletin cover? It's like, no, like, I'm not going to put a jar of mayonnaise on the... So I canceled the whole, like, sharing of memories part of the service. We didn't do that. And I put, like, a nondescript flower on the cover. And I gave a nice message. It was from a seminary book that I found. But I took a very different lesson than the one that I gave. What struck me was her reputation. And it was the wasted days of her life. A life where the biggest impact that she made on the closest people to her, the sort of thing you put on her headstone, it all added up to one joke and a couple jars of mayonnaise. And I thought about her nieces and nephews and her peers, and I just left that meeting resolved to do better. I don't want to live my life today, tomorrow, the next day, in such a way that people closest to me think about my name when I'm gone, and it's on a headstone, and tell stories about one joke and bland condiments. I want to be known for something else, for representing Jesus and impacting people around me for the good. And I'm convinced that that's what God has called us to. My hope that we can do the work right now to build a name with people around us that is far more impactful and influences and changes and uplifts people around us. Because a good name is more desirable than riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold or mayonnaise. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would give us a vision of what you're like. And as we see Jesus as you lead us, may others follow us to wherever and however you would have us act. Father, can you cause each of us, inspire each of us, lead each of us? What a blessed thought. Can you lead us to impact those around us, to have integrity, and to have such a good reputation that doors are open and opportunities are placed before us to glorify you and proclaim your great name to others? Please convict us. Please nudge us. Help us to make necessary life changes. I ask all this in name of your great name. Amen.